Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, Pam. Welcome to the party. It's going to be a party, I think. I want to tell everybody, I hope you had a great week, and I hope you have an even better weekend to follow. And you'll have to excuse my voice tonight because, well, it's a little risk. And just so everyone knows in advance, I'm not going to be making verbal comments tonight. I'm going to try and keep my voice as long as I can, but I'll be leaving written comments on every poem. So it's great to have everyone joining us tonight, and yeah, welcome aboard. So, how are you, Pam?
I am doing pretty good. You know, we got some kind of crappy weather, but that's all right. I'm inside where it's nice and warm. I got my hot tea. I got my warm flannel blanket. So, you know, life is good. Looking forward
nice.
To hanging out with you and other cool poets, and we got a great lineup of poetry tonight.
Yes, 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 we do. And just so you know, we have three other poets on the line with us already, which I think is wonderful. So just so you know, first off, we have Arcana Amor. Hello, Arcana.
Good evening, everybody.
It's good to have you join us. What a treat. We got a couple
of... Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's so nice we have, like, such a great variety of voices. I like it. And I left mine in my locker. I don't know. And we have Selena. So hello, Selena. Welcome to the party. Oh,
hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me this evening.
You sound wonderful.
Hi, Selena.
Hi, sweetheart. Are you? Can you all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, thank God. After last night's disaster. Hi, Jean. Hi, Pam. Hi, Katie.
It's good to have you. And last but not least, we also have on the line with us, Laurent. So hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Bon nuit, Laurent.
Hi, Laurent.
What a nice group.
Seven. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a wonderful night for poetry. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it lots. So I hope everyone's had a great week, and I hope you're having a great today, Friday that is, in my world. Some of you are on Saturday, I think.
I am.
Yeah. It's hard for me to keep track of all this, you know.
I'm a few hours older than you, Jean.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. You know, why not, right? Why not? Variety is the spice of life. You be a couple of years older, or a couple hours older than me, and I'll be a couple of years younger or older than you. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. Right, Jean?
It's all good.
That's right.
So
it's all
cool.
Good. Okay. Absolutely. The poetry has no age.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, Pam, I hope you hear me as the night goes on, because I know you have trouble hearing me sometimes anyway. So you got to tune to my raspy voice. This is my Wednesday voice, but I brought it to Friday.
That's right. It's your sexy voice. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And it all started on Thursday after my Wednesday show. Go for it. That never goes as planned. Yeah.
And for anybody listening on the boards, hey, I'm absolutely serious. I am rubbish at multitasking. So you won't see me commenting much on the board tonight. Please forgive me in advance, people.
You're a man,
you know,
that's why.
Absolutely.
But you know what, Selena? I cannot comment on the boards and do the show at the same time either. I can't.
I can.
I get all turned around and twisted up. It's awful, but it's true. I get it.
Well, it's good to know I'm not alone.
No, you're not alone. I can't tell you that you're in good company, but you're not alone.
Oh, I don't believe that for a moment.
Well, I don't know. It's been said before. Let me see what I have. I'm going to get Pam to kick us off tonight with our first poem. And the first one I'm going to put up is called The Hanging Tree by Darkened Auras. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, Pam, I'm confused. I get it. But there, I'll let you start it off anyway, and then you can take it from there.
All right. Sounds like a good plan. All right. The Hanging Tree by Darkened Auras. A mother found her daughter out in the woods at night. It's very after midnight. It's after midnight, Stacy. You gave me quite a fright. He called out to me, Mama. He wants to take me too. You tried to lie about it, but in my heart I knew. Tears had started forming in the mother's eyes as she pulled her daughter home against her screams and cries. She locked her in her room and went back to her own. She looked over at the photo in the frame there by the phone. You won't take her from me, you bastard. You are dead, hung for sleeping with the sheriff's daughter in our bed. Meanwhile, in the next room, Stacy cried out for her dad. Holding the same photo that her mother had, she slowly runs her finger over the picture of his face. I'll try again to join you, Dad, tomorrow at that place. The next night, she turned in early, and her mother, she did too. Stacy snuck out with a rope, knowing what she had to do. At the stroke of midnight, she heard her father's voice. Are you coming, Stacy? Yes, Dad, I've made my choice. The next morning, Mom was frantic, searching for her little girl. She ran out in the woods, her mind all in a whirl. As a protective mother, she feels she has failed as she gasped and cried at what her eyes beheld. at the old oak tree where her husband hung 10 years before on the very branch was a noose that swung once more. This one held her daughter, now her life she couldn't see, and by the same time the next morning, the nooses numbered 3. End poem.
Great reading. Nice poem. Okay, Laurent, you want to start us on this one? Am I doing it right now?
Oh, my God. The twist. Yeah. Twisted. My head and heart are spinning. Gut punched. What an ending. What a reflection on a moment that is probably reenacted, at least in part, throughout society, by young and old alike. Just wow. That's all I got.
Wow. Yeah. So, and Stelina, how about you?
I agree. It does take the wind out of your sails a bit, this one, doesn't it? You know, Christina writes dark very well. And I think this one really relates to me. I mean, you know, being a mother, I can relate strongly to the theme. You know, we all live in a world of worry from the moment they're born. And it's a heartbreaking kind of situation, as well as a joyful one. But, you know, this has this sad theme of the parents, you know, when they start to hate each other. And often, you know, the children get forgotten. Their feelings get forgotten in this sort of melee of anger and frustration. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the bad deed is. Your father is still your father. You know, it's a different relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that stanza that, you know, the stanza that really hit hard for me was this one. You won't take her from me, you bastard. You are dead. Hung for sleeping with the sheriff's daughter in our bed. Meanwhile, in the next room, Stacy cried for her dad, holding the same photo that her mother had. So I think the idea of the same photo is sort of very telling, that this is the same man, but he's different for both people, you know. And, yeah, as Laurent said, the end really kicks you, doesn't it? It's so sad, so tragic, mm-hmm. but a wonderful write. A wonderful write from Christina. Very well done.
Absolutely. And Arkana, how about you?
Well, you all know me. I just love a bit of darkness. And Christina's got a talent for it. I love the way that she's turned this into a tale, how she's written it. And the rhyming's on point too. Very well done there. Mm-hmm. As the tale develops, we've got a story here of a trio of hangings. We've got the father being hung, then we've got the daughter, and then we've got the mother who feels that she's failed her daughter. Hence, right at the very end, we've got those nooses numbering 3. And I just think it's very well contrived, very well written, and very well done. Great poem, Christina. Thanks for sharing.
Amen. Excellent comment. And Ken, how about you?
Oh my goodness, this is a brilliant dark write. That she has a real gift for storytelling. And I don't usually use the word horrifying, but for this particular mm-hmm. one, I had to, because it really is, I think, the worst nightmare of any parent, but especially a mother who is trying her best to protect a daughter and then it fails or feels like she fails. And yeah, that twist at the end was definitely dark. So an amazing write and very well done.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful job, Beth and Doris. And okay, Sam, we're ready when you are.
All right. And up next, we have A Dove Escapes Eden's Fate by Daniel DeShino. And Arcana, would you give that a read for us, please?
I'd be happy to. A Dove Escapes Eden's Fate by Daniel Dishino. Oh, universe, how minuscule I feel. Insignificant footstep in the eternal march of mankind. I have come to understand the warning of temptation's fruit. But with sorrow, long after it has entombed my body in love and sadness, not only am I forever enraptured, but electrically aware of every other fruit-bearing tree planted on this earth. To be born into the loving, nurturing mother's arms, and to be protected by a paternal warrior, only to be fated orphan. To have childhood buried in a family plot, and true home lost forever. To grab root and grow into a nurturing tree that I once sheltered safely under in protective fetal position, and to watch the bird nest offspring fly into a distance unreachable. Protective love is an arm reaching for a star. Through it all, as a savior with jasmine petal touch, is the quantum one, the connection, the one who shows me the truest of bonds, the one who I saw fly and enticed me out of the nest. Today, we have put one wing and one body entwined, and unlike the myriad lesser loves of the world, whose destiny will break me in pieces and scatter them, walking throughout paths I cannot follow. There is a true love that can be found in the beating hearts of those that can truly see what their hands may hold. And I hold my love's hand as we fly, time travelers in a world of broken clocks. Someday, one wing will break. I know not which one, but I do know a bird cannot survive if it cannot fly. And I do know angels only fly to the heavens when they have both their wings. End poem.
Excellent read. Great read, Arcana. And what a wonderful poem by Dan. Okay, Laurent, do you want to start? Oh, I'm not sure where I started the last time, so forgive me.
Yeah, this is magnificently written. When he says, when Daniel says, through it all, as a savior with jasmine petal touch, is the quantum one, the connection, the one who shows me the truest of bonds, the one who I saw fly and entice me out of the nest. He talks about the connection that two people can have. Once that bond is established and it really becomes part of you, another limb almost, another mind, another heart. And if you remove that one wing, you only have one body entwined, as he says. And when you lose that connection, if you should lose that connection, it leaves you earthbound in many ways, because someday one wing will break. I know not which one, but I do know a bird cannot survive if it cannot fly. And I do know angels only fly to the heavens when they have both their wings. It uses this overarching metaphor to really explore the connection, the bond between two people. It's a marvelous piece.
Excellent. Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is an amazing write. It has just stunning imagery and metaphors throughout. I like how it kind of speaks on the idea of the cruelty of fate, especially in those first stanzas that talks about becoming that, first knowing that love, that protective love of parents, and then becoming an orphan. But then it goes on to speak to me on the idea of how, of finding a relationship that creates balance between two people. you know, I definitely think this was a well-deserved gold in the contest that it was put in. And I really like this all the way through, but especially as we fly time travelers in a world of broken clocks. You know, someday one wing will break. I know not which one, but I do know a bird cannot survive if it cannot fly. So amazing lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Stelina, how about you?
Well, I really am a fan of Daniel's poetry. He has a beautiful style. And, you know, he doesn't overflower things, but he really gets the emotions through. You know, he really conveys emotion in a most expert way. So this is another of Dan's amazing pieces. It's really beautiful. It has the dark imagery as well. And I think it's gorgeously crafted from beginning to end. But the part that really spoke to me was the part with the broken wings and everything. It's wonderful. This stanza I found really beguiling. There is a true love that can be found in the beating hearts of those that can truly see what their hands may hold. And I hold my love's hands as we fly, time travelers in a world of broken clocks. You know, that can be found in the beating hearts of those that can really see what their hands may hold. You know, they really realize what kind of love they have. And they appreciate it. And it's such a great part of their life that if they lose it, you know, half of their life is destroyed. I thought it was a wonderful piece. I really enjoyed this read. So well done, Dan. You know, beautiful, as always.
Great comments, Selena. Very nice. And Arcana, how about you?
Wow. What an absolutely fabulous poem. And what a gifted poet as well. There's so many fabulous lines in there. I mean, I have to totally agree with Stelina. The emotions that pour throughout this writer are palpable. You know, you're not just reading it, you're actually feeling it. The descriptions of love and the love that's shared between two people and how that feels and how it affects you. And the way that he's actually expressed that with the metaphors that he's used is just a touch of brilliance. And I love the way he wraps it up as well, with the reference to angels needing to have both their wings in order to reach heaven. I thought it was a fantastic write and really well done. Brilliant, brilliant poem, Daniel.
Wonderful comments, everybody. And right now I want to take the time to welcome Katie to the studio. Hey, Weaver, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Very good.
Oh, I'm
it's good to have you join.
Thank you.
Hi, Katie.
Hello.
We have the League of Nations here tonight, and I like it. I like it. Kate, did you happen to hear the piece by Daniel Descheneaux?
No, I didn't. I'm terribly sorry. I was battling with the gods of the radios again.
Well, you had trouble, but Stelina and Arcana made out okay tonight, so it's pretty good, right? We'll swap. Go figure. Who knows? Okay. Okay, well, Pam, I'm coming back to you then.
All right. Well, up next, we have Forgotten Dreams by Jenny Hunt. And Stelina, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sorry, I was on mute. hold on, I've got to find it in the list. Just give me a second. I'm doing a Katie. Right, okay. I've got it. Bless her. Okay. So, by my lovely friend Jenny Hunt, this is Forgotten Dreams. Feeling you holding me, I embrace your love. Flying high, your snuggles intoxicate my senses. You captured my heart, tearing down my fences. Without you, I don't know where I belong. I have dreams of you and me on the beach. I have dreams of you holding my hand. I have dreams of us rolling around in the sand. Sweet dreams until nightmares pour in like bleach. Dissolving, I reach out to touch you. Ice cold tears freeze my cheeks, stinging like bees. Waking up, falling out of bed and to my knees, dying to go back to sleep, dreaming like babies do. You and me on the beach, I have dreams of you holding my hand. I have dreams of us rolling around in the sand, sweet dreams until nightmares pour in like bleach. Nice warm caresses turn into tugs and scratches. What dreams may come, so I hoped would be. What happened to our love and passion? Why can't real life be forgotten like my dreams? End poem.
Great reads, Kalina.
Thank you.
PM, would you like
Stelina
to start
Stelina curses.
There you go. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready, give us a comment on this.
All right. Well, you know, I thought this was a beautiful write. You did do a wonderful read, Stelina. You know, I really like how the repetition gives this a lyrical quality. To it, and like most of Jenny's writing, it has a really strong emotional impact. It's a beautiful write. The idea that how much the heart can break and the tears that come when you wake up from one of those dreams that reconnects you with somebody you lost. So very well done.
Nice comment, Sam. And Selena, how about you?
Sorry, there was a lot of noise. I couldn't hear that. But anyway, so, well, Jenny, I'm discovering, is a really talented writer. And this piece is, you know, a very beautiful, very poignant piece, which spoke to me either about an unrequited love or a lost love. Or, you know, love that's died between two people. And I have to agree with Pam, that anaphoric stanza, that repetitive stanza, it's very effective, you know, because I have dreams of you, I have dreams of you. It emphasizes her obsession with this man that she loves, you know, and with the word dreams being a constant throughout, it's strongly inferring that this could be probably an impossible love, or one that she cannot get back, you know. I thought it was an excellent piece. I thought it was expertly written, and bravo, Jenny. Very well done.
Right. Great comments. And how about you, Artemis?
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's very, very well written, very expressive and very emotional. I absolutely agree with the refrain. And to me, it comes across as an unrequited love rather than a lover that's passed away. It's like a deep longing that this person feels for somebody. And they just seem totally oblivious to it or treat it with complete disdain. And I mean, in the last stanza, nice warm caresses turn into tugs and scratches. What dreams may come, so I hoped would be. What happened to our love and passion? Why can't real life be forgotten like my dreams? Whatever she's feeling, the protagonist in this tale, it's scarred them so deep that they feel it so intensely that they just can't shake it, and it's haunting them. It's haunting their thoughts and haunting their dreams, unlike real life where somebody may say something untoward or whatever towards you, and it can be forgotten about within a certain period of time. But this person is absolutely haunted by it. Very well expressed and a brilliant write. Enjoyed it.
Awesome comments, guys. Kate, how about you?
I agree with everything that's been said. It's one of those pieces of poetry that really hold you. Again, I do love a repetition. I think it just holds everything together. And this, yes, I agree. This is unrequited love by the, not a love that's gone or passed, but unrequited, but it's obviously still there and still in the moment and can't be forgotten that easily. Yes, I don't like sad, but this is very good sad. So thank you, Jenny.
Nice comment, Kate. And Murat, that brings me back to you.
Nice warm caresses turn into tugs and scratches. What dreams may come, so I hoped would be. What happened to our love and passion? Why can't real life be forgotten like my dreams? It's ironic that most dreams do dissipate quickly, regardless of how we would hold on to them. The sorrow of real life might be what we want to forget, but it remains. And the dreams we would continue seem to ebb more easily, turning into the nightmare of loss, so beautifully described, so sadly realized in this great poem. Nice job, Jenny.
Nice comment. And Pam, brings us back to you.
All right, up next we have Ballad in Lunar Lilac 1 by Jack Blue. And Laurent, will you please give that a read for us?
Yes, I will. Okay, Ballad in Lunar Lilac, number 1. On the moonless beach, like a sorrowful nocturne, a crazy lute sounds. I'm going to start again. Please excuse me. Ballad of Lucas Lilac, number 1. On the moonless beach, like a sorrowful nocturne, a crazy lute resounds and sings the water's heart with a misty memory of some infernal canticles. How many silent songs of madness and despair flicker through the sea above the cleansing springs where the hymnal cries brighten the infinity. Waters cover every forest of bold, ambitious oars. If lacrimal pale swords turning to dead amethyst dance the horrible bolero in the castle undersea. The frozen lilac lute sails through the melody and sings the stormy story with resounding zephyrs to play the sapphire in the purple infinity. Luke Lilac. And
Nice read, Laurent. And I have to start with Stelina, I believe, this time. So Stelina, whenever you're ready.
Yep. Well, first of all, beautiful read, Laurent, as always. Jack Blue's poem, what an opening stanza. You know, this grabbed me right at the beginning because it's such wonderful imagery. You know, the reader can really get lost in this poem. And I also love the musical references. They really speak to me, you know, being a musical person myself. And, you know, I could hear music in this poem. I mean, that opening stanza, you know, on the moonless beach, like a sorrowful nocturne, a crazy lute resounds and sings the water's heart with a misty memory of some infernal canticles. Ah, it's just sublime, that stanza. He did an excellent job with this. A wonderful, wonderful poem. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. So bravo, Jack Blue. Well done.
Excellent. Great comments, Dorina. And I'm with you. I love all his musical references and most of it. And Arcana, how about you?
What a talented poet. It's just rife with absolutely stunning lines and metaphors. Yeah, I have to say, by the way, Lauren, your voice was perfect for the recital of this piece. You really brought it to life. That was fantastic reading. The lines in here, there's just so many. Without repeating the entire poem, I'm struggling to pick anything out. Some of the metaphors are very abstract, and obviously very deep, but the way that he put the words together is just absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I doff my cap. A brilliant, brilliant piece. Very well done. I'm not familiar with this poet, but I'm going to need to become more familiar, I think. Brilliant, right, Jack Moo?
Nice comment. And Katie, how about you?
Oh, yes, I can see what Selena means about the fact that it moves like a song. It really is beautiful. I do particularly like the use of color going through it as well. Lilac, beautiful color. The frozen lilac lute sails through the melody and sings the stormy story with resounding zephyrs. I mean, that's just lovely. It really is. Yes, I do. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, Jack.
Nice. Very nice. And Laurent, I know you read it, but I'm back to you.
Yeah, I've got to echo the previous sentiments. The use of words conveys the emotions so wonderfully on this. A sorrowful nocturne, a crazy lute, a misty memory, infernal canticles, silent songs of madness and despair. All of those are used very cleverly to establish a tone that puts the reader into a fantasy land. That fantasy land of a moonless beach where a sorrowful nocturne plays, called a silent song. Singing the water's heart is especially powerful, and using that metaphor of the water, which covers every farce of bold, ambitious oars, which I think is great phrasing. Really, no matter how much we might want to delve into that horrible bolero in the castle under sea, I don't think you can unless you really know how to listen to that frozen lilac lute. It's a wonderful poem.
Right, absolutely. Okay, Pam, we're back to you.
All right, well, I think this is absolutely an amazing write, wonderful imagery and metaphors all the way through. I really enjoy and appreciate how Jack has a style that's all his own, and I particularly was drawn to the stanza that starts with waters cover every farce of bold, ambitious oars. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice.
And up
great
next.
Comments, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Up next we have A Tragedy in Zugma by A.R. Mundell. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Okay, A Tragedy in Zugma. You held my strings, me at arm's length, the door ajar, and me back. You gave me life, my love away, the spark I need, and trauma like candy. You sank my dreams, your claws in me, beneath the waves, into oblivion. You kept me, my eyes awake, me on edge, running forward and distant. You took my choices, no quarter, off on your own, and to them too fast. You spill no secrets, my ego on the floor, into a basket and over me. You have so much love to wake up, never apologize, and no intentions to. End poem.
Great read. Great read. Okay, and Arcana, I'm going to start with you this time.
Okay, I think that it was a great read, by the way, Katie. I'm just trying to recap on some of the lines that really stood out for me. I like some of the phrases that she's used. I like, "You spill no secrets, my ego on the floor, into a basket and over me. You have so much love to wake up, never apologized, and no intentions to." There's just a general feeling through this of somebody who is in love with somebody who has such deep feelings for them, and they've really got their hooks into her, and she's just borderline obsession with it. And I think that it's beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. So very well done, and thank you for sharing that.
Nice comment, Arcana. And Kate, it brings me back to you.
Oh, I love this. Such a clever girl, Amy. You are such a clever girl. I love the whole premise in this. That first two words, then you hang the rest of that stanza upon those words. And it was so cleverly done. I was like onto stanza two before I realized. I thought, hello, this is so cool. And after that, it was just a dream. I totally enjoyed it. I've never seen it done before, and I love it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Amy. It was divine.
Thanks, and Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, I have to echo Katie's comment. The zugma, is it pronounced? That figure of speech explained in the AN, in which a word applies to two others in different senses. So when the poet says, "You held my strings, you gave me life, you sank my dreams, you kept me awake, you took my choices, you fill no secrets, you have so much love," and then follows it through the next three lines. As Katie said, it is a wonderful rhetorical device, and really transforms the poem in many ways. Very, very intriguing. Beautiful job.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
I think this is just absolutely brilliant. You know, Amy has this way of introducing me to wordplay and to poetic devices that I've never heard of before. In fact, when I first read this poem earlier today, until I got to the AN and read the AN, my first question was, where is Zugma in this world? Yes. I was like ready to go searching for on a map, but you know, it's always fun to learn something new. And I do like the way she used this device and how she played with words. I really thought this was a powerful write on, to me, that spoke on the idea of an toxic relationship and the apologies that will never be given or received. So excellent write and very well done.
Can I just say, have we got a heavy breather on the line?
I don't know if you're right. I'm sure maybe.
Sorry about that, Arcana. You know, some of the pets in the dungeon are misbehaving, so, you know.
Oh, I think
they start breathing heavy when I start snapping the whip.
Is that what it is? It's not Jeremy, though.
At the end, stop.
It wasn't me. I was on mute.
Oh my gosh. Oh god.
I can breathe heavy now though if you like.
What now? Let's not go, it's not Wednesday. What's the matter with you?
No, we save that for Wednesday, yeah. Okay.
Or just decided, but we don't have anything to transfer here to.
Yeah, well the guys all chicken out on Wednesday, Jean. You know that.
Well, they sure did last Wednesday, that's for sure. And we know how it goes, right, Selena? It's okay. I have a calendar. I've written down.
Yeah.
That's okay. Somewhere they'll be sorry. Mm-hmm. Being mean like that. Letting us girls hang like that all by ourselves. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, they're scared.
That's right. I would be too, let me tell you. Oh, gosh. Oh. Okay, Selena, I think you're the last one to comment on this piece, if you don't mind.
Okay, sweet, not at all. Okay, so I love Amy's work, first of all. I always like her poetry, whether it's, you know, I hear it on here or I read it occasionally. She's a great dark writer. This poem has a very dark undertone too, and which I, again, like Arcana said before, I love that, so it speaks to me. It also speaks to me of this manipulative love, you know, which really is not love, of course. It's control. But, you know, we can be duped by such people. I mean, I know I was, so I can relate to the theme very well. And, you know, I really felt this poem. This tiny stanza as well, I thought, was brilliant. You sank my dreams, your claws in me, beneath the waves into oblivion. That is exactly what it feels like, you know, when you have someone like this. They hold you with claws, and then, you know, they just sort of, they have a hold on you, but they're not with you. And it's a horrible feeling. And I think Amy expressed it really well. So well done, Amy. Great write.
Nice comments, everybody. Appreciate it. And Pam, I'm back to you. What's happening?
All right. Well, let's go ahead and see what's happening.
Pam has always wanted to tell me where to go as she gets the chance. So you can tell me how to get there someday.
Up next, we have 1,000 Miles to Marcel by Ben Hart. And we have an audio for that, which was done by Selena.
Okay, here goes, guys.
White fireflies and blowballs, pray the winds are acting in good faith when carrying them away, that they may fly 1,000 miles just to die the object of your eye. Like snowfall suspended, hanging on heavenly strings, something unique, meant to fleet, desperately lingering, ran into trouble during your last visit to the bottom of a vodka bottle. I asked you once, don't you ever miss it, when you went driving for days, just to go missing? Blue rose bouquet on the back seat, end up in Marseille, fold ships out of spreadsheets, hold a Viking funeral for everything you worked so hard to miss out on. But the boat, modern labour made to break, couldn't even carry the tiny infernos out of the harbour. You never answered. Your attention had long fled from my oxidizing eyes and my opiate lips. And if memories get snagged up in nets of thoughts dredged from your head, you'd say, so be it. This is me, damn it. So be it. You didn't want to talk about it then. That's why you never kept the pictures. Left them like little treasures instead, like letters to the places you grieve, as if they were people, just for a stranger's kicks, a miracle they could believe. So in love's abandon, they'll always have your fiction. I picked myself apart so I could prove I had a heart, announced all my addictions to an audience who called it art, but only ever saw me, a ghost, haunting their telephones at 3 a.m. when they should have been asleep, dreaming of white fireflies and Mary Ann in a little yellow dress,
with that little dandelion necklace you bought her with the last you had, hanging proudly on her chest like spring immortalized at rest in Heavenly Valley, where a battered heart happily beats to keep alive the music. He asked her once, "How do you do it? How can you manage to move me, playing something stupid, acoustic?" Sometimes, when driving in silence at night, I see a woman in a yellow dress in the woods. In her passing eyes, I watch another life flash by, and I know we had it good. I know we had it good.
Excellent audio, Selena. Really a wonderful job with that piece. Kate, do you want to start us off on this one?
Oh, yes. Absolutely beautiful, Selena. A great addition. I mean, it read beautifully, but your music and your voice behind it just brought it up to another level. Oh. And I wouldn't have thought White Fireflies and Blow Balls would have sounded so good. But there you are. Very well done. I thought it was lovely. It's just the sentiment in this is, it's heartbreaking. If you have to resort to the vodka bottle, things are not going too well. But I did enjoy it. I've enjoyed it a great deal. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ben and Stelina.
You're welcome.
Nice comment. And Laurent, that brings me to you.
Yeah, the stringed instruments are the best at conveying emotion. And the violin, well, maybe the cello, but the violin, the best of them in terms of evoking a mood. So the use of that music, along with a splendid reed, was a 1-2 punch that left me ineffably sad, but in wonder at the fact that in this case, the words were as powerful as the music, and the combination of the two to establish a mood that explores a lost love, a relationship ended with metaphors that were, I mean, breathtaking right from the beginning. White fireflies and blowballs pray the winds are acting in good faith when carrying them away. It was gripping right from the beginning and did not loose its hold on its emotions from beginning to end. It was sad to see it end. Just a marvelous job, both in the reading and in the writing of this piece.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So that, Pam, that brings me to you.
Yeah, this is absolutely a stunning write by Ben, and you did a wonderful recording of that with the background music and the read, Selena. Ben just has this way with imagery and metaphors, and another one that has his own unique style and voice that really stands out. I like how this has a very bittersweet and nostalgic tone to it. It feels like the idea of like barely treading above water in life and trying to make it through, looking back at those moments in life that were both spontaneous and beautiful, and knowing that life will never quite be the same again. And I really thought it had wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like, I picked myself apart so I could prove I had a heart, announced all my addictions to an audience who called it art. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Pam. And Stelina, how about you?
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't ask me first, because I've read this piece several times, and every time I read it, I cry. You know, it just gets me. And when I read it, I thought to myself, you know what, I've got to make a sound card of this. I didn't even ask Ben, I just made it. And I sent it to him and I said, look, Ben, this is a gift. I love this poem. I just wanted to read it. Do with it what you will, you know, my darling, but it's for you. And I found this, it's an absolutely stunning write. You know, it's the first piece I've read on here that actually made me cry. And it's so full of emotion and sadness. And, you know, technically the way the piece flows is absolutely sublime. But the theme, you know, it takes us on this journey of desperation and regrets, you know, along with the narrator of the poem. It's so beautiful in the darkness, but it's still so beautiful. And like you all said, it tugs at the heart, you know, it's so intense. And I wrote on the comment at the bottom, you, my boy, are an extremely talented guy. You should go far.
Yeah.
You know, I totally believe that. I think he's an extremely talented guy.
I do.
With the art and his poetry. Yeah, well done.
Thank you. And Arcana, that leaves you to close us out. Some comments.
Well, I'm a great appreciative performance, and I think Stelina did an absolutely amazing job with the SoundCloud for this. What everybody said is, you know, I can only repeat, it's a very deeply touching and sad poem. And the way that Stelina read it and the choice of music to accompany it really sort of brought that to life and took it to another level. And on the topic of music, I mean, some of the bits that sort of stuck out to me were the sort of reference to music in here, with like spring immortalized at rest in heavenly valley, where a battered heart haply beats to keep alive the music. And then goes on to say, he asked her once, how do you do it? How can you manage to move me playing something stupid acoustic? There's that reference to music again, and it sort of puts you in mind of the fact that as we go through life, we listen to music at different times in our life, and certain things stand out to us, and when we hear them, they bring back memories, and it's almost as if that memory is being played back through his own memories. And even when in the silence of night, when he's out driving, he still sees flashbacks and images of this lost love. Beautifully expressed. What a talented poet. Great. Loved it. Well done, Ben.
Nice comment. And Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. Up next, we have My Final Words on Poetic Hands by Harco Parco. And it goes like this. I'm sitting by the river collecting my thoughts and writing them on paper before the current drags me underneath. But I'm not afraid this poetry ends in a flashback of untamed blackness following closed eyes that mourn for loss. I guess it's not time to confess to a therapist about leaving a little part of the world behind, even when aching from too many sins. I remember long ago when sparrows sang their summer away without insecurities or haste for the polluted flower. Even then, there's nothing more receptive to the cold than taking one last breath. I know I already lost. I form a path along bruises with words I can never speak, and the pain never subsides. They'll take it away sooner or later, whenever the white linings of a casket fill with my name first. Then the headstone's writing will beg me to stay. But they don't know the world stops spinning when you least expect it, revealing that sometimes we walk a little too far off the edge, a little too late. End poem.
Great read, Ben. Great read. What a painful poem. Let me see. Laura, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Yes, it's been a while since I wrote a poem by Harpo. And this is this is deep. I'm assuming that the suicide is a metaphorical one, that it's more of a loss of who you were at a particular time, and somehow the ability to deal with it. I was particularly struck by I form a path along bruises with words I could never speak, and the pain never subsides. Boy, forming a path along bruises with words, it takes a real insight into both language and the spirit of a person as poet to write lines like that. Beautiful job, Harpo. Beautiful job.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. And Pam, how about you? I know you read it, but there you are.
Oh, this is absolutely stunning. You know, as always, he's just brilliant with imagery and metaphors. And I like the extended metaphor and how it speaks on the idea of a loss in self. And that kind of being on the balance, the line between two distinct phases in life. So amazing writing, very well done.
Amen. Okay, and Stelina, that brings me to you.
Adam's pieces are always very impressive, you know, and I really need this one. I read it through a couple of times, actually, because there was such a lot in it. It doesn't look like it's very long, but it is quite long, and there are quite a lot of things in it, but I have to pick out the piece that I did here. I form a path along bruises with words I could never speak, and the pain never subsides. They'll take it away sooner or later, whenever the white linings of a casket fill with my name first. Then the headstone's writing will beg me to stay. It's very, very cleverly written. You know, and as Pam said, there are like two sides to the story, but you know, the darker lines really are expertly written, and I really enjoyed it. Well done, Adam, my all poetry husband. Yeah, he proposes to every woman on here, though.
Have you divorced? I didn't know what there was a split there. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that. Just saying.
He proposed to me one day and Naomi the next, so there you go.
Yeah, well, see what kind of guy he is, right?
Yeah.
You make your sister what?
You're flaky.
Yeah,
you're flaky.
Okay, Arcana, how about you? What you got to say about this? Oh my goodness.
He sets the tone from the off. You know, there's a reflection going on here. I'm sitting by the river collecting my final thoughts and writing them on paper before the current drags me underneath. You know, there's that sense of drowning here, which is kind of echoed through the right. The way that he's looking back on life, I guess it's not time to confess to a therapist about leaving a little part of the world behind, even when aching from too many sins. It's very, very emotional and very, very sad. And right down to the very ending, where he's talking about, you know, he's walking a little bit too close, too far off the edge, and it's just a little bit too late. So the reflections that this person's having through their life are very painful to them, and they're the last thoughts that he's going to have to take with him to that place beyond where we all end up going to, and I find that very moving, brilliant, right, and very expressive. really enjoyed it. Well done, Harker.
Nice comments. And Kate, how about you?
When I kind of said that place that we all go to, my immediate thought was, oh, Blackpool. But oh, I'm sorry, Adam. I shouldn't. I cannot help my sense of humor. It gets me into trouble. But I thought this was... Yes, Selena?
No, I was going to say, don't worry, mine's as bad.
We're all bad. We're bad.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yes, it's always very deep. So I enjoyed brevities because there's not so much to try and get into. But this is lovely. I think this is really well done. My favorite stanza, but I'm not afraid this time. Poetry ends in a flashback of untamed darkness, following closed eyes that mourn for loss. Now that's very telling, isn't it? That is very good. I really enjoyed it. It's an awful lot for me to get into it, I've already said, probably, but very well done. It's always very well done. His use of words is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So, really is. So thank you so much, Adam, for that. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready, girl.
All right. Up next, we have Aisha the Eternal, a collaboration between Arcana and Femora D. Soulweaver. And we have an audio for that one.
Yes, we do. And here we go.
Beneath the cellar door lies a concealed secret, remaining cloistered from quotidian knowledge, kept clandestine from curious prying eyes, descending the depths of a spiraling staircase.
Into an obsidian altar of foreboding facades, that breathes through lungs of tumbling twilight. Fading sighs drift the air, cascading as dust, patiently resting since the dawn of time.
Foreseeing the return of the Crimson Queen, summoning Aisha, whose lust is insatiable, queen of hell's fires and wicked desires, she is truly a most beautiful, merciless entity.
Shafts of light spill down among shadows. A solitary flame dances alone in the darkness, casting glowing embers of fiery immortal promises that pierces the somber silence in blazing breaths.
Fire breathes her mane and flickering murmurs. The everlasting fire that blazes her veins burns brightly. Life is a light in this catacomb of seemingly perpetual slumber, where timeless suffering fuels immortal desire.
Motionless statues gaze frozen stares, lining stone walls in petrified meditation, awaiting dreaming longings to stir awakened, casting flickering spells on this dormant domain.
Each millennium, a meteor plummets into the blaze, igniting dancing flames into an inferno. Aisha escorts lovers within the fire to bathe in the glow of a thousand years.
As she emerges renewed, impassively replenished, her suitors are consumed in the raging heat, leaving charred bones of cremated devotion in sacrificial acts of eternal allegiance.
Aisha will reign this domain forevermore, choosing partners to join her leaping flames, absorbing their dying throes of deference to remain untouched by the torrents of time.
Great audio, guys. Absolutely. Let me see now. That would lead me. Oh, first off, I have to introduce Dexter. Hello, Dexter, and welcome to the party. Good to have
Hello.
You.
Hello. Glad I could be here.
Hello, Dex.
Hi, Dex.
Hi, Dexter.
Hey. Happy Friday.
Good to have you. Katie, that's going to have me start off with you for comments.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, this was amazingly well done. I love that echo effect. It really heightens everything to hear that. So makes me think of something in the distance coming through some kind of tunnel. And it's just lovely. Mm-hmm. I love the effect. And also each stanza, one after the other. Beautiful. I mean, you couldn't pick one out. But I will. this one, the penultimate one. As she emerges renewed, impassively repressed, her suitors are consumed in the raging heat, leaving charred bones of cremated devotion in sacrificial acts of eternal allegiance. And that's beautifully written. And how the suitors are definitely putting down their lives for their love. I think it was just beautiful. It was lovely. It really was. So atmospheric and so enjoyable. But thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Etheria.
That's what I'm going to change my name to. I love that. Thank you, Arkana.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if we can't find her, we'll know what she's under now. And Dax, how about you? Did you happen to hear the whole poem?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write and a fantastic collab with Arkana and my birthday twin, Femora. you guys go back and forth, and it gives it almost a vibe of a demented folktale that is kind of building the reader's imagination with each line. So I thought it was a fantastic write.
Thanks, Dex.
Okay, and Lynette, how about you?
Each millennium, a meteor plummets into the blaze, igniting the dancing flames into inferno. Aisha escorts lovers within the pyre to bathe in the glow of a thousand years. Right from the beginning, the imagery of two skilled pens immerses me in that everlasting fire, that place where motionless statues gaze, frozen stairs, lining stone walls in petrified mediation, awaiting dreaming longings to stir awakened, casting flickering spells on this dormant domain, while this adult fantasy towers in its ability to evoke sensation and dark wonder, leaving me a victim of the flickering spells gracing this skillful collaboration. Wonderfully done.
Thanks, Lauren.
Great comment. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is an amazing collaboration. Just powerful dark imagery all the way through. I really like how it has a slight sensual tone to it within the darkness, and speaks on the idea of complete devotion to a woman that is cruel and hungry for power. An amazing write by both of you, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. And Selena, how about you?
Yeah, this was a great dance that they did together. You know, their writing styles are so similar. They're like two halves of the same person, really. I think they fit. And, you know, it has a strong, very strong sensual thread, which is woven throughout. And along with the dark imagery, it really conjures up this, I don't know, is she a goddess or whatever? I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, and the picture, the prompt that they had. I think it was a really seamless piece. I couldn't tell who wrote what. I had to look in the author's notes. So that's always a sign of a good collaboration. And, of course, you know, Arcana's recitals are always amazing. So we don't need to say anything more there. We're all so used to those. But, yeah, I thought they did excellently well. And they should do a lot more, really, yeah. So well done.
Thanks, Selena. Excellent. By the way, can I just say that the idea behind this was inspired by, I don't know if anybody's seen it, an old Hammer film called She, the story of Aisha.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old one. That's kind of where the premise came from.
Mm. Huh. L. Rider Haggard.
There you go. Nice. Very nice. Very nice. And Pam? That brings me to you.
All right. Well, up next we have How Many Times Can I Break by Errant Panther. And we have a recording for that whenever you're ready, Jean.
Here comes.
How Many Times Can I Break by Errant Panther. It's cruel, you know, that music should be so beautiful, when shadows hang over my memories, like distant rains that never come to call. I wait on the dark notes of reality, the hope to touch my shoulder. Over and over my heart endures the agony of watching life go on, as though I wasn't part of you. Tears now fall to their own silent tune. It's cruel, you know, that music should be so beautiful. End poem.
Are you on mute, Dean?
Well, yes, but I was getting ready to say great light and move on with my comments from there, which I believe I'm supposed to start with Dexter this time. So what you got to say, Dexter? Uh-oh. Dexter?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear it was me.
Dexter, wake up.
No, I thought that this was a fantastic write. I thought that just from the opening, two lines, He brings us in with such a heavy emotion. I mean, it was almost like listening to somebody read a eulogy or something. It just felt like each line was very heavy, like distant rains that never come to call. I wait on the dark notes of reality for hope to touch my shoulder. Just a very... like I said, heavy writing. I thought he did it fantastic.
Great comment, Dex. And Laurent, how about you?
I think every couple, every relationship, at a certain point, finds themselves in possession of music or a song that they shared that somehow immortalizes the relationship. And after the relationship ends, when you listen to that music, it evokes at the same time the wonder of the love and the pain of the lost love. And so when he says, it's cruel, you know, that music should be so beautiful. The music is beautiful and the pain is real. And it is a cruel pain, bathed in beauty. It's a dichotomy that I find fascinating. And this poem really does a good job evoking that very thing. Nice job.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this is definitely, it's a beautiful brevity with a wonderful imagery throughout. And I have to agree, it does speak just amazingly on the idea of how music can bring back those memories, which sometimes can be just a wonderful thing, but other times it's so bittersweet. There's so much sorrow to be found in looking back at something that didn't work out. And I really like this all the way through, but especially over and over, my heart endures the agony of watching life go on as though I wasn't part of you. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Selena.
I agree totally with Laurent with his comments, because, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I guess it's the same for everybody. I mean, music is an extremely important part of my life. It always has been. And, you know, music has the power to move you in so many different ways, just as words do, you know. And this has that concept running within it. And, you know, the lines just... Okay, it's a brevity. I always admire brevity writers, you know, because to get so much emotion into such a short poem is, like, really hard. I just wrote one, and it's very, very hard, you know. And but he's done this so very, very well. I love the little couplet in the middle. I wait on the dark notes of reality for hope to touch my shoulder. Ah, it's so good, that, isn't it? Yep, excellent, right? Beautiful, beautiful. Errant Panther, down in Aussie land.
That's great. And Arcana, how about you?
Yeah, the way this read to me was, it was like the metaphor of music was actually sort of describing pain and heartache, because all the references throughout the poem that refer to sound are all sorts of, they've got a sad note to them. Distant rains that never come to call. Rain obviously replenishes, so without that you've got a barren wasteland. The dark notes of reality. Over and over, my heart endures the agony of watching life go on as though I wasn't a part of you. Tears now fall to their own silent tune. So there's this underlying theme here of the way that sound is being equated with heartache and heartbreak. And I think it's very beautifully penned and very well expressed. And I really enjoyed it. Well done, Errant Panther.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And Kate, how about you?
Well, EP has done it again. This is absolutely wonderful. I do like his voice, by the way. Something very nice about an Australian accent, using something so gentle and so heartbreaking and so sad. I liked so much the fact that he used the same two lines at the beginning and at the end, which is just, it just adds to it. It adds to the whole thought of, yes, music can be beautiful and can be cruel, because as everybody said, it does bring back memories, and sometimes great memories and sometimes not so great. But I thought it was beautifully done. Everybody's obviously said different stanza, so I won't repeat again. But I did think that the middle two lines were absolutely beautiful. So thank you, EP, for sharing that with us. Most enjoyable.
Absolutely. And Dexter, that brings me to you.
I believe I already commented on this.
Did I start with you? Okay, what's your name? Pam, back to you, girl.
All right. Well, up next, we have Daybreak by Stelina, and we have a recording for that whenever you're ready.
You do. Okay, here we go.
In the blushing dawn, the slumberous sun peeping with drowsy eyes over her patchwork quilt, burnishing flawless, fertile fields with her amber glow, illuminates the wafture of trees and wheat, which beckon me, yawning from my cozy nook. I stroll leisurely across the mellow meadow, through sweet-smelling sod dampened with dew, scattered like thousands of tiny fairy diamonds. The soft breeze murmurs through the leaves, redolent with the aroma of fruit dripping with juice, availing my senses of the need for sustenance and to quench my parched morning throat. I pluck an apple from an overburdened bough, biting into its crisp, crunchy flesh, savoring its sap, the tanginess tingling my tender taste buds. Flashes of blue and gold flicker as finches fly, gathering sprigs and bark for their nests, their dulcet songs lilting in the air, heralding the birth of a new day.
Excellent, right, Stephen? Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to start with Arcana.
I'm glad you did. Firstly, what a wonderful SoundCloud, Stelina. Absolutely brilliant and lovely choice of music to go with. From the opening lines, I mean, the whole piece is a celebration of the senses. In the blushing dawn, the slumberous sun peeping with drowsy eyes over her patchwork quilt. You know, the imagery that's conveyed just there is wonderful, burnishing flawless fertile fields with her amber glow. When Stelina reads as well, she has so much feeling and depth in her voice. You know, you feel her words as she speaks them. We've got just about every sense being addressed here. We've got sight with the colours, we've got smells, we've got everything. And it's just a complete vision of sort of waking up on a sunny morn and looking out and seeing the wonders of nature before your eyes and taking it all in with everything that you have to absorb. This wondrous sight before you. And I think it's brilliantly expressed, brilliantly worded, fabulous alliteration throughout, and just a complete triumph. Really well done. Loved it, Stelina.
Thank you, dear.
Excellent. And next I have Katie. How about you?
Oh, beautiful. Really beautiful. I have this overwhelming urge for an apple right at this moment. I wish I had an overburdened bough, but I don't.
Oh, I'll go to the
couple of Granny Smiths.
The apple will be better for you than a stick of rock from Blackpool, Katie.
Oh, that's true. Yes, better all round. Ah, wow. I thought it was wonderful, Selena. I love the music. Was that? It makes me. I don't know what that tinkly sound was. It wasn't. What's a dulcimer? Is that a music? It is a musical instrument. But
yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
It is. But it's a harp piece. It's a harp piece.
Was it? Oh,
Celtic
wow.
harp piece.
I knew it spoke to me. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like Celtic music very much.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful.
It's very ethereal, Katie. Very ethereal.
But does it tell the truth? Of course it tells the truth.
I never do that.
Oh, no, it's not a good idea. Don't start it. People will talk. I pluck an apple from an overburdened bough, biting into its crisp, crunchy flesh, savoring its sap, the tanginess tingling my tender taste buds. Oh, so good. Yes, lovely. I really enjoyed it. You took me with you on that beautiful walk along that pastoral scene.
It's a lovely time of day, isn't it? It's a lovely time of day.
Yes. For me, that evening. But, you know,
and me,
the way my life goes. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Selena. It was lovely.
Glad you enjoyed it, though.
I did.
Good comment, Kate. Dexter, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, Selena's voice alone is just a talent. I mean, if I heard her even at the drive-up window or something, I mean, I think my heart would melt. Or, you know, I mean, forget to pull forward, you know. I mean, it's she just does such a great job of her language, her elegance, and just really capturing the image, and brings us into a moment in time. So very well done, Selena.
Thank you, Dexter. Nice. Thanks.
Big time, that guy. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, it's right from the first line in the Bush and Gall and the Slumberous Sun. We become very aware of the kind of poem that this is going to be, a wonderful celebration of nature. The language, it's sweet, it's languorous, it's comforting, it's evocative. The way that nature is described through sweet-smelling sod dampened with dew, scattered like thousands of tiny fairy diamonds, the soft breeze murmurs through the leaves, redolent with the aroma of fruit dripping with juice. My, a poem like this renews my faith in the ability of our poets to take almost any subject, and what subject is better than the blushing dawn and the slumberous sun peeping with drowsy eyes over her patchwork quilt. It just immediately involves the reader, and it does not let go until the last line. Just marvelous work.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
Okay, last but not least, Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely stunning all the way through. A beautiful pastoral poem, wonderful imagery. I like how it celebrates life and it celebrates nature. And it's truly a treat for all the senses. And, yes, it definitely makes me want to have it be apple-picking season. So, excellent, excellent, right?
Thank you, Pam.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
yes,
up next.
Yeah, Pam.
And up next, we have your poem, Lauren. So go ahead and give it a read for us.
All right. Let me just get rid of this and move here. This poem was written after 2 weeks of binge listening to Wren, a Welsh poet, singer, rapper, busker, producer, recovering from psychosis due to effects of medication given on a 10-year-long misdiagnosis of Lyme's disease. And it's called What I See. Time is the bastard father of my misgivings, coattail tag-ridden with indecision, black stalking horse with no remorse, gargantua rising with deft precision. However you describe its awful weight, cancerous crust left scratched and bleeding, what was once so effortless thrust wears a darker mien of silent screaming. My questing mind opens doors, freeing path core, for now I know what I seek seeks me. In striving to understand, I have allowed the horse through the gates. Darkness passes Pandora's portals, parting the gauzy wrap of the universe, unwinding me, naked, spread-eagled before limitless hunger. Spiritual dimension opens wider, its evil malice snaking in sinuous coils, undulation of horror, readying my living grave. Breath of the devil's twin hisses inside of me, egotism in fluted voice, whispering maniacal in tongues, stirring inside where he has always lurked, behind biological boilerplate, paradoxical, ironic blind date. And I have called him out to his face without reckoning. His death is my death. End poem.
Nice job. Okay, so Graham, that's going to bring us here. Yeah, what a great read. Pam, you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is just a fascinating write, and it's interesting to learn about this poet. I didn't know about him, so that was really cool. I mean, powerful imagery and metaphors, and an amazing dark write on the whole idea of a suffering of a man's body and mind from the effects of the medication. And, oh my goodness, yeah, this kind of thing would make anybody go mad. I really liked this all the way through, but especially in striving to understand, I have allowed the horse through the gates. Darkness passes Pandora's portal, parting the gauzy wrap of the universe, unwinding me. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And Stelina, how about you?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm a fan of Laurent's poems, and he read that beautifully, as he always does. This is a really deep poem, and you know, it really sort of how can I say it? It really attacks the attacker. I know that sounds like a strange yeah. sentence. But it really gets this sort of this condition that this man was misdiagnosed with Lyme's disease, and all the painful situations that this person had to go through this misdiagnosis as well. I mean, I don't know, you know, how painful that could be for someone. I mean, it's bad enough being diagnosed with something real that you have, but when you have to go through a misdiagnosis of something else, it must be a terrible thing. And you know, I can understand this long bout of depression that this man went through. I mean, this write is so expertly done, because it really sort of reveals the innermost feelings of this person. And I mean, some of the lines, I mean, black stalking horse with no remorse, gargantua rising with deft precision. That's fantastic, fantastic wordsmithery. And later on, there was another piece I liked as well. Let me see. Yes, spiritual dimension opens wider, its evil malice snaking in sinuous coils. You know, the sound of the words that he uses to just an amazing piece. Well done, Laurent. Really.
Thank you, Selena. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Arcana, how about you?
Yeah, fabulous read. Laurent, and Stelina's actually picked out the part that really sort of resonated with me too. The black stalking horse with no remorse, gargantua rising with deft precision. That I can't really imagine what it would be like to go through this, where you actually get misdiagnosed for something, and it turns out the medication that you're giving, which is supposed to cure the problem, actually becomes the problem and ends up causing psychosis. I mean, what an awful thing to happen. The poem itself expresses this with metaphor in a very imaginative way. And I think this is a kind of piece that, you know, I could read this over and over and over, and each time I read it, I think I'd see something else. A little bit more would speak to me. And I think it's brilliantly written. The poetic skill that was used to write this and express this is just absolutely wonderful. Very well done, Lauren. Absolutely brilliant, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Nice comments, everybody. Kate, how about you? I don't think I started with you. Or Doug.
Hello. Yes, I thought... Hello. I'm here. I thought this was absolutely wonderful. I particularly love that first stanza. Time is the bastard father of my misgivings. Coattails hag-ridden with indecision. I'm not surprised. You wouldn't be able to trust your own mind at some point, I imagine. But it was lovely. You can't say lovely about something that's so sad and so painful, but it's a word we use, isn't it? I thought it was very interesting. There you are. And I liked it very much. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Nice comment, Kate. And Dax, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. I didn't necessarily take it upon, interpret it as if he was writing about that poet, and I could be wrong. Don't judge me the way I guess I think about this, but I feel like it's almost written about the urges and the temptation that are in the, you know, is deep down within men. And you look back at times that you've been seeking different women and different things like that, and you recognize it as a darkness, and you almost feel ashamed, and you wish that you would keep that person of yourself down. I just feel like it was written about trying to defeat the temptation within yourself. So I thought it was a fantastic write.
Thanks, Beck.
Excellent. Excellent comment. Okay, and for our next piece, Pam says, we are doing Lost to Love by Weaver of Dreams, and I have an audio for that. So here goes.
How am I holding on, holding back, holding this in? Your taste is on my tongue. Your scent is on my skin. Your voice calls around my mind, making reasons spin. Heat spikes giving rise to thoughts of subtle sin. Your softness yields to me, offering all within. The oils used to anoint you gleam upon each limb. Your body bends, moves voluptuously as we begin. If this is losing to you, I never want to win.
Great piece, Kate. And I'm going to start with you, Dex.
Could you come right back to me?
No, but I'll come back to you.
Whatever. I was just caught mid-type. So.
All right. I get it. I totally get it. I get caught all the time. Laurent?
Yeah, Lost to Love. It kind of says it all. When you lose to love, you win. You have to win because you're being gifted something that is, I don't know, irreplaceable in so many ways. the words, your taste is on my tongue, your scent is on my skin, speaks to the physical attraction, the what remains in one's mind when that other person is not immediately there. Your body bends, moves voluptuously as we begin. If this is losing to you, I never want to win. The rhyming is beautifully done. The language is soft, but definitely tells you what it wants to tell you. I would lose myself to love all the time. Great piece, dear.
Thank you.
Okay, and that takes me to Pam. Pam, are you back?
I am, yes, and I thought this was just an absolutely wonderful, sensual poem on the idea of playing the game of love and being willing to be the loser, because either way, as Lawrence said, you win. And I really like the end rhyme that you have in this. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. And then I have Selena. I bet you.
Okay, Katie, I love this. I really love it. I think the lines, the way you've conveyed this feeling between you and this person. I mean, right from the first line, how am I holding on, holding back, holding this in? You know, the intensity of feeling for the other person, beautiful imagery. I mean, your taste is on my tongue, your scent is on my skin, your voice coils around my mind. Ah, oh, so lovely. The flow of it is so lovely. But I've got to agree with everybody else. That ending is a wham bammy for me. I mean, your body bends, moves voluptuously as we begin. If this is losing to you, I never want to win. Oh, just a wonderful piece. Well done, my darling. Really. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And our camera brings me to you.
What a beautifully expressed piece you've put together here, Katie. Absolutely wonderful. It sort of speaks to me of how the connection that's shared here goes way beyond the physical into the realms of being spiritual. Everything that's going on here is it's describing the physical sensations. It's also sort of imprinting itself into the thoughts and the psyche of the protagonist in this tale, who is just completely head over heels in love with this person. Hence the ending is just, as has been said, it's just the perfect ending. And as Stelina said previously, to be able to express so much with so little words, so concisely, it takes a lot of skill and talent. So brilliantly done. Congratulations, Katie.
Thank you so much. That's very nice.
Katie, I want to know who this guy is, please.
Yeah.
That you keep writing about.
Well, this time, unfortunately, I will have to say to you that it's not a man. And I'll leave the rest to you.
Well, actually, I didn't think it was because of the voluptuous curve.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. I thought, we're going into another realm here.
I wondered if somebody would ask. I wondered if somebody would ask.
I did pick up on it.
And Dexter, what did you think? I told you I'd come back.
Yeah, I thought that this was an amazing write and really brought us into inside the mind, or kind of the viewpoint or the feeling of how how tender it can be to be submissive to somebody, and really how beautiful that all is when it just kind of falls into place naturally. So I thought that this was an incredible brevity.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Pam, we're back to you.
All right, Dexter, your poem is up next. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Right. Tough to follow up the lineup of poetry we've had here tonight. The Hand That Was Dealt by Duke of St. Paul. If only I had good news, the authority to grant relief, sing music to your mind, offer a promise in every word. Your life's still so fresh. Your chores get completed. A tippy toes shaking, reaching outstretched arms. We walk through life's hailstorm, holding buckets so heavy, bending soil rich with struggle, reason and meaning then sprout. Gazing with pleading eyes, scanning for any warmth at all in this cold world, any shape, any form. My backpack was magic, and it possessed a superpower, and then let me carry your pain. I'd stuff it full and let you run free. I'd send you positive vibes, but you don't see that as a prize. You find comfort in truth. It will be revealed in time. On your many days ahead, I can only pray that you find the ability to discover peace and how high that you climbed. End poem.
Great job, Dex. Absolutely. And let's see now. I guess I'll start with Lorraine.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. I almost dropped the phone. Good Lord. We walk through life's hailstorm, holding buckets so heavy, tending soil rich with struggle, reason and meaning then sprout. When you deal with life and literally have to carry the water, so to speak, when you exert the effort, when you tend the soil rich with struggle, reason and meaning then sprout, it's the kind of struggle that gives any life meaning. And we all search for meaning. And in doing so, we also realize when someone else has a pain, is burdensome to them, and you love them enough that you are willing to carry that pain, that if you could somehow wish it away for them, you would. When you said, I'd send you positive vibes, but you don't see that as a prize. You find comfort and truth that will be revealed in time. It's the end line in how high that you climbed. That's the way that some people will measure themselves and attain peace by having succeeded in ways that leave you at a higher plane, a higher level of existence perhaps, a higher level of understanding than previous. And then you can be satisfied with what you've done and find the peace that you seek. I thought this is a very, very positive write, my friend.
Thank you, Laurent.
And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful, uplifting write about seeing somebody's pain and guiding them with kindness and with love. Really great imagery all the way through. But I especially like, if my backpack was magic and it possessed a superpower that let me carry your pain, I'd stuff it full and let you run free. Wonderful lines and very well done, Dexter.
Great job, Pam. And
thank you.
That's by you.
Well, I have to disagree with Dexter because he said, how can he follow this wonderful, list of poetry that we've been going through? Because this has its place at the top too, you know. And when I did read this before, I read it a while ago, and I thought it was an absolutely wonderful poem. There were two stanzas that really stood out for me, and I think they were the ones that Laurent cited. We walk through life's hailstorm, holding buckets so heavy, tending soil rich with struggle, reason and meaning then sprout. I love that, tending soil rich with struggle. That's such a great line. And then gazing with pleading eyes, scanning for any warmth at all in this cold world, any shape, any form. I thought this was a very, very moving piece. And I read it 2 or 3 times. I really enjoyed how he tried to sort of reveal this concept that he had in his mind about, you know, how life is a struggle. This is what I got from it. I mean, I might be wrong, but, you know, life is a struggle, and we lean on other people in certain, at certain times and in certain situations. But, you know, the voice here, for example, as well, the stanza that Pat picked on, my backpack was magic and it possessed a superpower. Then let me carry your pain. I'd stuff it full and let you run free. It's so lovely. Such a positive write, as Laurent said, and a beautiful write. Well done, Dex. And you belong there, my dear. Don't put yourself down. You belong on the list.
Thank you, Selena.
Beautiful poem, love.
Absolutely. And Arcana, how about you?
Aside from echoing what everybody else has said, that there is such brilliant depth of expression in the words of this piece, and the final stanza just brings to mind, you know, how most of us sort of, we go through life and yeah, we make mistakes and things go wrong, and, you know, we have pain. But at the end of the day, we somehow claw our way through it all and we survive it. And there's almost a salute to that at the end, you know, and discovering peace and how high that you climbed. What did you achieve in your life? You know, and sometimes, you know, just still being there and being in the game in itself is an achievement. And there are different ways that this piece could actually be interpreted, and which is the wonderful thing about poetry. It is what it is to each person who reads it. Although it's sort of in a third-person perspective, it could also, if you twisted it around, be in a first-person perspective, as if somebody was talking to themselves, egging themselves on, and sort of giving themselves hope to continue and recognize their own achievements. Brilliantly done. I really enjoyed it, Dex. Great write.
Excellent. Great comment.
Thank you very much.
And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes, this has carried you along. I liked it so much. That there was sadness and there was hope. And there was somebody who wanted to help, somebody they cared about so much. That my favorite stanza has already been quoted. It's the one, if my backpack was magic, I would love to have a magic backpack. What fun that would be. It was a pity you didn't have it, because you could have made that lovely girl so much easier in her mind. So, yes, I thought it was lovely. Ah, beautifully. Thank you so much. I'm getting to the point where I'm giving, oh, it's so lovely. Yes, but I'm not going to cry, okay? Wonderful. Thank you, Dave.
Well, everybody, that brings us to 90 seconds from the end. So I want to thank each of one of you who called in tonight. I really appreciate it. It was a great crowd, great comments, wonderful poetry all through. I have 6 carryovers for next Friday. To everyone who was waiting, I apologize, but sometimes it gets that way. First was Titus Llewellyn, Robert M., S. Sharp, Hope Soul, Pam Ray, and Poetic Potential. So those 6 poems are going to be carried to next Friday. So if you didn't hear it, that's what it is. And Arcana and Selena, it was wonderful to have you join us. It was a nice treat. And Jack,
it was great to be here. Thank you.
It was wonderful
night,
having
everyone.
You exactly. And Jack and Pam and Laurent. Thank you all for sharing up our words tonight. And hopefully we'll see you all again soon. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Have a great evening, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good morning.
Bye.
Good morning.
Bye, baby.
Good night, guys.